This time of year, the gear means more. The logo has a season of grit stitched in. The hat brims go low. The jerseys blaze with postseason pride. It's postseason season. This is what players and fans wear to win. Visit MLBShop.com for your favorite team gear and today's special offer. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Jack, I don't think of you as a Pearl Jams man.
Oh, I got through some Pearl Jam phases.
Ah, okay.
Might be in the middle of one right now.
Ah, WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
That's why I'm wearing plaid today.
That's your grunge, nod to grunge?
Yeah, you know me, Jackie Grunge.
The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers, the official jeweler of you. If you're looking to get engaged, shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. Do you want the Phillies to fire Rob Thompson is the Twitter question, Ike. Yes or no? What do you think the results in the Twitter poll are? Do you want the Phillies to fire Rob Thompson?
This is an interesting one because I think most people like Rob Thompson
and
don't think he deserves to be fired or really want him to be fired. So this is going to be closer to a 50-50, I believe. I'm going to go, 57% say don't fire Rob Thompson.
70% say don't fire Rob Thompson.
Wow, 70. Wow, yeah. More than I thought.
Which does show how angry they are at the players.
Yes, where they should
Correct.
Be. Yes,
Correct.
Where the anger should be.
I think we're all sort of in the same boat as to that it lies on them. This wasn't a Rob Thompson decision that caused them to lose. Absolutely. And by the way, Rob Thompson is speaking. The Phillies have announced he is doing his end of year press conference, as so is Dave Dombrowski, Tuesday at 11.
Yes.
Are they scheduled to do it at the same time?
I believe so.
I believe so.
Okay. All right.
Which is also an indication that they probably will not fire Rob Thompson.
Either that or they want to give 5 days to think about it and then just have Dave Dombrowski talk.
Well, if that's the case, then I mean, you wouldn't send him out there.
Yeah, I think what they do at this point, and I don't have any information, Jack, I don't know if you do, but if you just say he's speaking on Tuesday, it quiets everything down for a couple of days and maybe lets you think.
Yeah.
And then you're not doing the we're going to evaluate thing that the Eagles did with Nick Sirianni, basically indicating to everyone that they thought about firing him. So if they keep him, it puts them in a little bit of a safer position.
Well, wasn't that a report today?
What?
That they were evaluating the coaches, including Rob Thompson?
Bob Nightingale said that yesterday, right?
And today.
Oh, and today. Yeah. Okay.
So he says that is... That is from a source that they want out. They want that out there to know that Rob Thompson is also being evaluated.
Probably.
Who reported it today?
It was Nightingale again.
Nightingale again. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he's reasonably sourced, I would say, Bob Nightingale.
Yeah.
All those guys are hit and miss, but I don't think... I think when they miss, they were told something that was wrong, but not that they were completely talking out of
their
ass.
They did wait a week to fire Gabe. Gabe was a full week. Now, and it also reminds me, Doug did talk at the end of the year, and then 3 days later he was gone, so.
Do you think?
But I don't think they, at that point, had intended to fire Doug.
I know, I'm just saying. Yeah. Just saying.
But I mean, when they ask you about making certain changes to your staff and you choose not to.
You know.
Part of me says that they want that out there to at least have us.
Think that they're thinking about it.
That they're thinking about it, yes.
Do you think maybe they took a week to fire Gabe because nobody wanted to talk to Gabe and they were just trying to push it off on each other?
And did Gabe do an end-of-the-season presser?
I don't believe so, no.
See? That's different.
Yeah, well, we will see. I think it's the right move, though I don't think it's his fault. So 215-592-9494. Michael in South Philly, you're on WIP.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. How you doing?
What's up, Mike?
Not much. You know, I like listening to your show, but sometimes you guys can just get on my damn nerve.
Mm.
A question like firing Rom Thompson, for what he's done in the last 3 years, it's obtuse. I mean, it shouldn't even be asked. This guy came in 2022, took us to the World Series, then took us to the NLCS, and then, we didn't have the hopes and dreams that we wanted to this year when we went to the NLDS and we lost, but it wasn't his fault. Okay, you can blame the outfield issues, you can blame the defensive issues, you can blame the bullpen, you can blame the pitching, but at the top of the at the blame list is the lineup that didn't hit. You can't if you put another manager in this position, what's he going to do? He's going to jumpstart all the issues that we're having.
So what are you going to do? So what are you going to do?
I don't have the answer to that.
Well,
I
mean,
you just don't want Rob fired. You don't know how to fix it, but you want the manager here.
He's not accountable.
Yeah, but he is accountable. He is accountable. You know why? Here, Michael, let me say this, and then you can make your point. So we have a program director here. We have a boss here. Rod Lakin is our boss. If Rod...
Noted liar.
If he says to us, if he treats this show, if we say, you know what, Rod, we've got it here. We don't need your coaching. We don't need your assistance. Let us do it on our own. And he says, you know what? You guys are professionals. You got it. And we fail, then it's still his decision to have left us on our own. And he will also face the consequences of that decision. And the issue here is that the lineup that you want to blame, I agree. But two things. You can't get rid of the lineup. And the second thing is, I refuse to believe that the lineup isn't capable. I think a lot of what went wrong with the lineup was attitudinal and was a choice. And they made the wrong choice. And if you're going to have a manager that is going to let them do that, then you need a new voice. So they are aware that what they've done is not acceptable because they treated 3.5 months of the baseball season like a championship was a foregone conclusion. That's how they treated it. And they couldn't get it back because that's not how it works. So I guess my question to you is, and I know you say it's not your job. I understand. But we have to deal in reality. And if we want something different next year, we have to try something somewhere.
Bring in an outfield that could hit.
Okay, how? Who?
Juan Soto.
Okay, so that's one player. And Juan Soto, by the way, you're going to have to outbid the New York Yankees and the New York Mets. So let's say you don't outbid the Yankees. Let's say the Yankees tell Juan Soto, whatever anybody else offers you, we're going to pay you $1 more. So here we are. Because, by the way, the Phillies made a very competitive offer to Yamamoto, and he didn't want to come here, so he didn't come here. So then you're stuck. Okay, they didn't sign Juan Soto. Okay, they tried their best. They didn't sign Juan Soto. And then we are marching back into the season with the exact same lineup and the exact same manager. And, by the way, I know there's no salary cap, but there is reality. There is fiscal reality. We are not in Los Angeles. We're not in New York. So when John Middleton spends like New York teams do, that means this team's going to lose money, and we're going to go into a season leveraged on a team that for three straight years proved to you that when the chips were down and they needed to adjust, they couldn't do it.
Yeah, but throwing in a new manager isn't going to fix all these issues.
How do you know that, though, Michael? How do you know that?
I do not know that.
Well, let's see. Hold on. The Mets were terrible last year. They brought in a new manager.
He's taken us to 3 consecutive playoffs.
I understand. And no. We're not talking about what he's done. I'm talking about the idea that you've already decided you can't bring in anybody to change this team. Like, why have you already decided there's no manager out there that could change this team?
Well, you had Girardi.
Oh,
and then you
God.
Had him. There were two different types of coaches.
Can I tell you, Joe Girardi had given up. Joe Girardi didn't care about the Phillies. Joe Girardi showed up here for a paycheck. Joe Girardi had no desire to be manager of the Phillies. Truthfully, they overpaid him. They overpaid him. And he.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Yep. Let me ask you this. Instead of doing all of that, what is it that you like about Rob Thompson so much that you feel like we can't go on without him?
I'm not saying that he hasn't made flawed decisions.
No, I'm just asking for his strength, the things that you love about him as a manager that you feel like that's going to help us win next year.
I like his mentality. I like the way that he approaches the game. I like some of the decisions that he's made. I like most of his decisions. Some of his decisions I question, but I do that with all managers that we've had in the past.
So what mentality and what approach – How would you describe his mentality and approach?
He's got a lot of egos on this team.
Yep.
Okay, he's got Schwarber, he's got Harper, he's got Turner. He's got, in the top five of the lineup, he's got almost $1 billion that he has to deal with.
And do you think he got the most out of them?
And his way of dealing with them is pretty much let them figure it out.
I don't know that. I can't say that for sure. I don't know that that's his mentality. Can you say that for sure, that he's saying let them coach themselves?
Here's what I can tell you. By his track record and his unwillingness, or how long it takes him to make any type of decisions moving anybody in that lineup, he will let you figure it out yourself. He has trust in his guys, and that's a trait and a quality that the players love about him, is that he allows them to figure it out. No matter if it takes them 2 months to figure it out, he will stick with them. He will stick with them. And what I'm saying is, and what Spike is saying here to a degree, maybe that has run its course. Like, maybe they need something different.
I disagree.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, I guess,
you can feel that way.
Yeah.
But I guess the issue is,
I'm just at wits' end. I need another voice.
Yes. Because we think they're talented enough.
Yeah.
Talent is not the issue, right? I mean, you could say we need a more consistent bat in center or left field. Absolutely. But outside of that, where is there a talent deficiency? There's not a talent deficiency at first base. There's not a talent deficiency at third base. There's not a talent deficiency at shortstop. Well, there isn't one in right field.
And the conversation heading into the playoffs was, this is the most well-rounded roster in the league.
Yes.
Yes.
I like what you said earlier about the players should be the ones looking themselves in the mirror. They let Rob Thompson down.
Yes, and you can't do anything to them.
Yeah.
You can't.
The players that let Rob Thompson. He didn't fail them. They failed him.
They did. And it's going to cost him his job, but that's how it goes sometimes. Chris in Barrington, you're on WIP.
Yo, 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 what's up, guys?
What's up, Chris?
First time on the show, man. My wife said something to me right before I got on. She's like, hey, Chris, does every city got a sports radio talk show that talks about the losing teams all the time? That just puts things into perspective, but it's kind of true.
Yeah. Well, if they'd win, we would talk about them then. They did it. Their fault. Yeah.
Snake bitten culture here in Philly. Ike, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Do athletes talk about handling the pressure here when they come here to Philly?
I think.
No, seriously, behind closed doors.
I think somewhat, maybe. Maybe. I mean, listen, I played 20 years ago, man. What athletes talk about today and what they focus on today is completely different than us as athletes 20 years ago, when we didn't have to deal with social media and all the other stuff that goes on. Like, I think players are actually under more pressure now than we were back then.
And Chris, I'll say this, I'm not Ike. I didn't play in a professional locker room, but I can tell you from, I would say, an informed perspective, and I can't tell you for sure in base.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Baseball, but I can tell you in other sports, it's a factor.
Yeah.
It's a factor about whether players decide to come here.
Yeah.
That for a lot of players, we can be a harder sell than other cities are.
Yeah, I can buy that. Yep.
I agree, and I think a player that's absolutely regretting that he came here, and I'm regretting that they signed him, is Trey Turner.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, he might be. Yeah, he might be.
His disposition is awful. The lack thereof of emotion, his melancholy attitude, he clearly regrets signing that contract. And it's just a joke, because the guy doesn't even act like he wants to be here anymore. It's really sad. And I don't know how contracts work, gentlemen. I'm going to be honest with you. But, like, I know he's got a no trade clause. Can that be modified at all, or can he opt into a trade?
Oh, yeah.
Anyone with a no trade clause just means
you can't send me to a terrible team.
Or a team I don't want to go to.
Yeah, a team I don't want to go to, basically, yes.
Well, to get back what you can get if you trade him, it's actually significantly more if you trade Boom.
Can I tell you, Chris, trading Trey Turner, good luck. Because he's still got 8 years and $240 million on the books. He's a shortstop who can't play shortstop. He's go ahead, Jack. Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. I thought you were going to say something.
No, I'm arguing with Costas about Hurts.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry. Yeah, I think Chris, thank you for the call. I think there is a possibility that Trey Turner's like, I don't know about this place. But I also think
he was saying that last year.
Yes. And I
before Jack came along.
Jack had nothing to do with that standing ovation. Just watch the
documentary. Don't ever say anything to do with it.
Yep, nothing to do with it. Yeah. I hate how you keep blaming Jack for the standing ovation.
Wow, that really did take a turn.
Yeah.
Now if he's hitting 330 next year, we're back.
Well, Trey has become...
Dude, he's batting 313 in the playoffs, by the way.
Trey has become truly...
So mad.
Trey has truly become the Tobias Harris of the Phillies in that it's a big contract for a good player.
He's better than Tobias Harris.
Yes, but it's a good player who isn't quite... What you had hoped he was.
Yep.
And they have him for probably the declining years of his career. He's 30 years old. He's 31 years old. You may never see the Trey Turner from 40 years ago. So any team, if you were to trade Trey Turner, you're either paying most of the money, in which case you have the same problem, you know, because the money is part of the problem, or you're sending prospects. And I don't think he's such a negative that you got to attach prospects. Okay. Joining us now, host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Remember, Insider Call is presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Listen to You Better Your Bet wherever you get your podcast. Costos, how are we feeling?
It's like the greatest week in New York sports in quite some time, man. Feel anything happen for you guys this week? I'm feeling pretty good. Got more money in my bank account. It's great.
Well, what about all the money that you told us you were going to bet on the Phillies getting to the World Series?
Well, you know, there's lots of bets that are placed over the year. Some win and some lose.
Okay.
And my Phillies bets are all, trust me, if it had been Phillies Royals World Series, I would have considered retiring. Some exact matchups I placed back in like June. But yeah, had the Mets in the series. I didn't think it was going to be that easy for them. I mean, it's pretty bad, guys. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, it was. It was pretty bad. By the way,
his hole.
Do you think the Yankees are fraudulent, or do you think
yes.
they're real? Okay,
yes.
You think they're fraudulent.
I mean, but fraud, like in what? Like they're going to win the American League.
Like, yes,
they're going to win the pennant.
Sure.
They're not going to win the World Series.
Okay.
Whoa.
No, listen.
What if they play the Mets?
I think they'll lose.
Oh, wow.
And honestly, and as a sports fan, like you guys will appreciate this, I think. So, like my late father. When I think about the 2000 Subway Series, we're a Yankee family, right?
Mm-hmm.
My dad would have to, during the Yankees won the series 4-1, would have to leave the house to go walk around the block because he was so nervous about losing to the frickin' Mets. Like, that is worst-case scenario for Yankee fans. Because
yep.
if the Yankees play the Mets in the World Series and they win, oh, you're expected to win, look at all the money, whatever. And if we lose, literally, we'll never hear the end of it. I think we're getting a Subway Series, and I don't know how, and I want the Yankees to win. I want to be wrong. The Yankees have no starting pitching, and Garrett Cole feels like a roll of the dice. You either get the greatest pitcher of all time or the worst pitcher of all time. Like, he's either Sonny Gray or he's Nolan Ryan. It's one of the two. And you never know what you're going to get with Garrett Cole. Last night, he was great. Game one, he was brutal. But anyone want to trust Carlos Rodon in a big spot?
Yep.
Luis Gil? Clark Schmidt? I mean, God almighty. Like, whoever wins the NL is going to beat the Yankees, and I'm going to want to walk into traffic. So I'm going to try and make some money on my fan misery when that happens.
I kind of like Luis Gil. You don't like Luis Gil? I like Luis Gil.
I like Luis Gil, but I mean, do I want Luis Gil starting like game two of the World Series
yeah,
against, you know, against
not.
Here's, you know, Michael King from the San Diego Padres, former Yankee? Like,
come on, man.
Really.
Pedro started game two for us. It wasn't that bad.
Pedro was like 60.
And it was that bad.
And it was bad. It was terrible, man.
All right, Costos. On to football.
He was only our daddy with the Red Sox.
Yes.
That's true.
That's the truth. So, by the way, he might be a good closer one day. All right. Eagles are 9.5-point favorites on Sunday. Some would say nobody in Vegas has seen the Eagles play this year. That would be one theory on it. Do you like either side of that game?
Yeah, so I'm going to bet the Browns plus the points. I'd like to get 10. My thought is, once it's officially announced that Devontae, AJ, and Lane Johnson are all like 100% in, and like that gets baked in a little bit, I think we may see a 10. But even if we don't get there, I'm going to bet the Browns. So, Spike, I like the way you phrased that, right? Like, has anyone seen the Eagles play to be a 9.5-point favorite? You could just as easily say that the betting market actually has no idea how bad the Cleveland Browns are, and that this is the ultimate dead team walking, like Deshaun Watson zombified, like season 9 of The Walking Dead with this Cleveland Browns team. Might be the worst team in the league as long as he's the starting quarterback. Now, you know, usually we do. It's a bad sports betting content, like the stock market analogy. Buy low and sell high. I'll buy low on the Cleveland Browns here with the expectation that their head coach is awesome. Your head coach is miserable, is terrible. He's absolutely the worst. And I will make this bet with the acknowledgement that if we're going to do the stock analogy here, that I might be betting on Enron. And that this might be the like, as bad as it gets, and the Eagles kill them in the game.
Right.
But Kevin Stefanski, back against the wall, no one believes, even with the terrible quarterback going up against that head coach on the other side. And I love me some Jalen Hurts, and I'm arguing, Jack's telling me he's an average quarterback. Like, grow up, Jack. The guy almost won a Super Bowl for you.
He
does
average.
Turn the ball over too much.
Yeah.
Does turn the ball over too much. I'll take the points with the Cleveland Browns on Sunday.
Real quick, because we don't have time for it. Tell me one thing that Jalen Hurts does that is not average.
I don't know, like win a million games, go to the playoffs every year.
That's not a skill.
3-10 in his last 13 games.
Okay, do you think Jalen Hurts is bad?
I think he is average to sub-average.
Oh, my God. Oh my God.
Look, Nick, a quarterback's job
is to throw the ball toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes in the biggest game.
2 years ago.
And Foles outdid Brady.
Yeah.
Well, he's above average, too.
And Foles isn't. Yeah, and Foles was good.
He didn't start one season for the Eagles. What are you talking about?
I mean, but what do you mean? He got the 27 touchdown, 2 interception season for the Eagles. Jack.
He got benched in Jacksonville.
Well, what are you talking about? Conveniently forget the fact that Foles had.
About?
He had a 27 touchdown, 2 interception season.
What?
You're like, it never happened. So what?
So what?
He's still so what? 27 touchdowns, 2 picks. So what?
I'm with you, Nick. I'm with you.
Oh my God. Of course you're with me. It's not even a question.
Moved on from Nick Foles. What are you talking about?
Jack's like actually like making stuff up.
I'm not making stuff up.
Jack, you're saying right now that the sky is red and grass is blue. Sorry, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Foles is great. He's great.
I didn't say he's great. I just said he's way above average.
Okay.
So is Jalen. All right.
So is Jalen. Man.
All right. I want 3 of your best picks for Sunday for the NFL weekend.
All right. Sunday morning in London, Jaguars and the Bears. Give me the Jaguars to win the game. They're getting bet like that right now. This was 2.5 a couple days ago. Now it's Jaguars +1. I agree with this move. Caleb Williams has had some success recently. I think he's going to be great, but he has had success against teams that cannot rush the passer and that they can run the ball on. Jaguars defensive line is stout. Trevor Lawrence had a get right spot last weekend against the Colts. I think the Jaguars will beat the Bears coming up this weekend. Jacksonville +100. Jacksonville just to win the game. Let's go to the Commies and the Ravens in Baltimore. I've been betting on Washington the last couple weeks, and I think, like, quote-unquote, like, sharp bettors have been going against the Commanders. They're doing it again, and I look to profit off of their misery again, and I'll bet Washington. Just the expectation that, you know, this offense for Washington is so good that I don't think they should be as close to a 7-point dog against anyone right now. If they're going to be able to score this many points, I'll take the points with the Commanders. 7 is the number that I would like for Washington. And let's go to Monday Night Football, guys. Here's what I know. Well, I'll tell you something I don't know, then I'll tell you something I do know. I don't know if Jets interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich is any good. But what I do know is that he can't be worse than Robert Saleh. And I know that Todd Downing's a bad offensive coordinator. We saw it in Tennessee. But I know that he's better than Nathaniel Hackett. Jets upgraded head coach. They upgraded an offensive coordinator. And the Bills' offense has been solved. They don't have any receiver that can create separation other than Khalil Shakir, who has not practiced yet this week. They're in big trouble offensively. Give me the Jets to win the game on Monday night on what will be a glorious sports day in the great state and city of New York with the Jets and the Bills, the Yankees in the ALCS, and the New York Mets in the NLCS.
New Jersey. And yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. And finally, we love your props. Give us your best prop.
Okay, best prop for this weekend. How about AJ Brown over 70.5 receiving yards?
Oh, that's a lock.
Yeah, it's honestly like this is one of those where like the bet doesn't have to win. it's 70 and a half right now. By the time we get to Sunday, it's going to go up like 5 yards. Like, I'm just telling you, like, it's like the line is terrible. I like A.J. Brown over 70 and a half receiving yards, and I like that bet a lot coming up on Sunday.
All right, Kostos. Well, good luck to your Yankees, and also go to hell.
Well, if they lose to the Mets, already there.
Right, yes, that is the truth. It's like losing to your little brother and pick up basketball in the driveway.
It's worse than that.
Yep.
I promise you.
Never hear it.
Never hear the end of it.
Yep, all right,
no
Nick.
Upside.
There he is. Nick Kostos, host of You Better You Bet. He is our Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Remember, all Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. And you can get Kostos' show, You Better You Bet, which is enjoyable every day, 3 hours of it. You Better You Bet wherever you get your podcasts, including the Odyssey app. I've been waiting for this. Coming up next is, Jack has a lot of Philly/Eagles foils in the city. Remember, there's Jay in West Philly. There was it Don in North Philly called yesterday, OG Wade. But Elliot might be the one that gets under Jack's skin the most.
We'll see if he can do it.
So coming up next.
We'll see if he can do it.
Oh, I think he can.
We'll see.
And you got to keep that mic open, buddy.
I have pretty thick skin right now.
Okay. All right. So Elliot joins us next. We'll get Elliot's opinion on Rob Thompson. Maybe ask him about Bryce Harper. And what the hell happened with Devin White? Got to ask Elliot that as well. That's all next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.